So what am I going to say to be Lordy Lordy at the end? I don't really want to be Lordy Lordy. I just want to take seriously Tracy's story. And in particular, I want to take seriously two things about Tracy's story. And I think everyone in this room, whatever your beliefs, I think we all want to take seriously these two things from Tracy's story. I think we all know the answers to these two questions. Whatever you believe, you know the answer to this question. Is losing a child wrong? Is it wrong with a capital W? Is it outrageous? Have you seen small coffins? I'm a Church of England minister. I have to take these funerals, okay? Have you seen small coffins? Is that wrong? Or is it just unlucky, unfortunate, painful, but heck, life's random, so some people are going to get lucky, some people are going to get unlucky. What is it? Is losing a child wrong? Wrong with a capital W? I think we all know the answer to that question in this room. Secondly, does Tracy have two children or three? Yeah, we know. She's got three. We know the answer to that question, right? But only Jesus makes sense of those two answers. See, the Lordy Lordy stuff makes sense of life as we know it. Because there is a God of faithfulness, a God who has suffered with us, and a God who promises life beyond this suffering. Because of Jesus, he makes sense of real life. Because of Jesus, losing a child is wrong. It's not just painful and unlucky, it's wrong. And because of Jesus, Tracy has three children and not two. And she has hope that she will embrace Robin again because of Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, do you know C.S. Lewis, author of the Narnia books? He was an atheist for many years until wrestling with the subject of suffering made him think about God. And in particular, he started to realize that when you suffer, you don't just go, ouch. You go, why? But that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, why not? If everything is random, nothing is wrong, is it? If we are just psychology that boils down to biology, that boils down to chemistry, that boils down to physics, then we're just molecules bumping into each other, and some people are going to bump into each other in a happy way, and some people are going to bump into each other in an unhappy way. That's all that's going on. And when tragedy strikes, you don't say why, because if everything's random, nothing is wrong. But we do say why, and we do say that is wrong. And C.S. Lewis noticed, if something is wrong, that means there must be something that's right. If there is wrong with a capital W, then maybe there's right with a capital R. If there is evil with a capital E, then maybe there's good with a capital G. That started him on the road towards Christian faith, actually. He was just making sense of our everyday experience, of a world that is not just painful, not just unfortunate, but a world that is wrong. C.S. Lewis said, if you've never seen a straight line, and if you never have any concept of a straight line, then there's no concept of a crooked line either, right? Because what is crooked if there's no straight? If there's no straight, then lines are just lines. They're neither crooked nor anything else. They're just lines. You can only call something crooked if there's something that is straight. And there's only wrongness if there really is rightness. And the Bible says that before and beyond and beneath this world, there is rightness. There is goodness. There is a way that things are meant to be. And One wake-up call to God is when you see the way things are meant to be. And that's a lovely wake-up call. Okay, there's a beautiful sunset and you think, this is the way things are meant to be. That's one wake-up call to the fact this world is not all there is. But there is another wake-up call. And that wake-up call is when you encounter pain, grief, and loss. And you realize this is not the way things are meant to be. This is crooked. But if there's crooked, then there's straight. If there's wrong, then there's right. If there's evil, then there is good. Do you think losing a child is wrong? I think everyone in here knows it's wrong. I invite you to start trusting in Jesus, because that will make sense of your real life experience of the world. And then the second question, does Tracy have two children or three? Tracy started to piece things together, holding Robin in her arms. Is this it? It seems unconscionable to think this is it. When you see the wonder of life, could it really all be extinguished? Could it all be snatched away by tragedy? Or is there something about life that is bigger than death? Do you think there's something about life that is bigger than death? Again, I invite you to begin to investigate Jesus, because he starts to make sense of that. He is someone who is full of life, who, according to the Bible, overcame death, went into death and came out the other side. This doesn't answer all our questions at all. Tracy still has questions. I still have questions. I'm paid to know the answers to some of these questions. I don't know them. Okay? I've got some ideas about some questions, but it's not that I've got everything neatly tied up in a bow. None of us do. But I know that the death of a child is wrong. And I know that Tracy has three children. What do you think? I just want to finish by taking you through a tiny story from John's Gospel. We've got these John's Gospels. Do you know in the New Testament there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these biographies of Jesus. And John writes this story of what it looks like when the God of love actually enters into our suffering world. What's that like? How does God and suffering go together? Well, you can read John's Gospel and you can see what happened when a God of love entered a suffering world. And the God of love suffers. Because that's what love does, right? When love sees the beloved suffering, what does love do? Love enters in. Love suffers alongside. And so there's this story. I've got it. Where have I got it? Where have I put it? There we go. There's this story in John chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." He's very close to Lazarus. The one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Isn't that infuriating? Isn't that baffling? Isn't that maddening? Do you see little number six? That means it's verse number six. That little word, so, doesn't that make you want to throw the Bible against the wall? So, but he loves everybody. Verse 5 says, he loves the whole family. So he delays, and he delays, and he delays. And Lazarus ends up dying. Loving God? He allows the situation to get far, far worse before he makes it much, much better. And that's what Christians have come to see over time, that God allows things to get much worse than we were ever prepared to accept. And then turns things to a happily ever after, far greater than we ever dared dream. But that's the pattern. He loves everybody, and then he allows the nightmare situation to eventuate. On his arrival, God shows up late to the funeral. This is a strange story, don't you think? God shows up late to the funeral. Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. We've skipped a few verses, by the way. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus gives to Martha the lordy, lordy answer. Okay, she says, Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus brings Bible truth. He gives her a little Bible study. And that's what she needs. She needs the lordy, lordy stuff, right? That's Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus. But there's another sister called Mary. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How did she say that? What was the tone in her voice? I wonder whether she's accusing him of malpractice. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, the Bible is full of those kinds of words for God. In the Old Testament, there's a book of Psalms. There are 150 songs in which people are constantly saying, Lord, where are you? What have you done? This is intolerable. What are you doing? It's okay. You can say that to God. Mary says it to God. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him, he asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse of the Bible. It's one of the most powerful. Martha, the older sister, she needed the lordy, lordy stuff. She needed the Bible verse. Mary just needed someone to cry with her. And here is God. He shows up late to the funeral. And then he outcries everyone else present. Isn't this a crazy story? Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? These are the questions that people still have. They're questions that I still have. Questions that Tracy still has. And in a sense, the answer to those questions is not a series of intellectual propositions. The answer to these questions is a person. The God of love who shows up late to the funeral. But he outcries everyone else at the funeral. And then he raises the dead man. When Jesus had said these things, we've skipped some verses. Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth was around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus allowed things to descend far lower than anyone was prepared to go. And then he raised things to a happily ever after, far higher than we dared dream. And Christians will tell you that this is the story. It's the story that makes sense of all our suffering. We do have to go down into suffering. There is suffering for all of us to walk through. But don't give up on God in the midst of that suffering. If you give up on God, you give up on those two things that we all know. We all know that losing a child is wrong. Don't give up on that. And we all know that Tracy has 3 children, not 2. Don't give up on that. Because if you stick with this God, you have a God who will walk with you through that suffering and who can raise us again to a resurrection hope. You know what resurrection means? It means Tracy and Robin will hug each other. Okay? That's what resurrection means. And Jesus says these verses to us. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? I don't know how to finish. Anyone know how to finish? It's nearly time, so I guess we better stop. Do you mind if we just be quiet just for a second? And can I say a short prayer? Would that be all right? Would that be all right? Let's just bow our heads. God of love, there is a lot of suffering in your world. And you show up late. And you seem to allow it. Jesus, would you show up in our suffering? Would you weep with us? And would you lead us to your resurrection hope?